Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here once again with Josh Gagnon.
Yeah, can you call me a co-host again? No. That feels really good. Yeah,
my co-host. But dude, I can't. It's like our listeners here know that I can't say resources. I have to say resources. And the same thing, when I see your last name, man, it's just Gagnon.
Gagnon. You feel like you want to say that name and eat a thing of poutine, right? What is it?
Oh yeah, of course. Oui, oui. Bonjour. Monsieur Georges Gagnon. Okay, anyways, we're not going to do this in French. Having said that, do you play hockey?
I don't play hockey, no.
Okay. But do you have any French Canadian roots?
Oh, like, are you kidding me? My grandfather was the first here to come to the States. He was a logger in Canada.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it makes sense.
Oh yeah, man. I'm with you right now. When I talk to you, I start to feel like I'm at home. It feels good.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what's really funny is, as a kid, when I was playing hockey, you know, the back of your jersey, when I was playing ice hockey, you'd have your name. Hmm. And growing up, I was watching CBC, Hockey Night in Canada, all my favorite teams. And there's like no Asian players. I think the first Korean / Asian player to make it was Jim Pack. And he won the Stanley Cup with Mario Lemieux with the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is in the 90s, okay, right? But before him, I mean, there's no Asians playing hockey. So when I was on the ice, everyone had these like gorgeous last names on the back of their jerseys, like Desjardins or Gagnon or, you know, all these long names. And I'm just like, M. So the next year I was like, Dad, we got to figure out a way to make this longer. So I was like, D.I.M. Right. And made sure there's a lot of space. And then when I was playing hockey, obviously the other kids were like, Hey, Dim. And I was like, yeah, that backfired.
That didn't work.
No, it didn't. Okay. Well, we're not talking about that.
Your hockey career is about to take off again.
Yeah, right. What we do want to talk about, and we're going to link it in the show notes. If you didn't catch the last episode, last time Josh was my co-host and we were talking about disappointment. How do you deal with disappointment, especially as we're still dealing with COVID-19, coronavirus, and disappointment? So be sure to go back to that. That was definitely an episode for the heart, and to give you some help as to what that looks like to get out of that disappointment. But today, Josh, I mean, you guys have 10 campuses, right?
Yes,
in New England.
Yeah, and in Florida.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I was talking to your EA, and yeah, he said he's like campus guy in Florida, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we got one in Florida. That's where we get too cold in New England. We go down there to thaw out.
Hey, that's great. So with that, and for myself, we have three campuses. We're about to launch the fourth, but that's just been put on hold. And the conversation that I would love to have with you today is for us to just riff on, and obviously we don't know, we don't really truly know what the church is going to look like when this is all said and done. But what we do know is that it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And I would love to talk with you. Let's first start with the future of multi-site, and then we'll get to the future of church planting. What do you think the future of multi-site is going to look like post COVID-19?
Yeah, I think the future of multi-site will probably look similar to what it looked before the coronavirus. However, I think a lot of churches right now are being forced to live outside the four walls of a building, which that is what the church is, right? We're doing a conversation in Next Level Church called We the Church through this season. And we're going to talk about We the Church we've always supposed to look like this. We were never supposed to be defined by the walls of concrete. Like, we were never supposed to worship in this building and put so much trust into our gatherings weekly that we forget about how we were empowered to bring the message daily. And so I think as much as this, and listen, I'm not belittling this reality. It's kept me up at night, and we've had to make hard decisions at Next Level Church. We've had to cut costs and we've had to cut things. And I'm certainly not belittling what it is we're facing as a culture within the church right now. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that if you think wisely through this season, you can prepare yourself to be more effective on the other side of this coronavirus. Meaning we're thinking right now, how are we going to do church online for kids? How are we going to run our groups online? Alpha, we do Alpha. How are we going to make that completely an online portal? How are we going to reach out to people, connect with people, do life together? And so in a world that was moving, you know, in a way of technology anyways, right? In a world that was moving that direction, this is kind of forcing churches to answer the question, how are we going to reach people in the technology culture? Yeah. And not that we didn't have church online before, right, Daniel? Like, we had that at Next Level, but we never had to depend on it, and we didn't put much time into it, right? We just kind of put it out there. And so, you know, one of the things I think we're going to notice on the other side of this is that we're more prepared to reach culture in a way we've never been prepared to do it on the outside of the walls of the building, because that's where people will most likely attend our locations now, even multi-site. They're going to attend church online first, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And every day, I mean, it's hard for me to sleep right now because of the weight of leadership, the weight of our staff, the weight of budget, the weight of, you know, all of that. It's just hit me like a train and a load of bricks in my face.
Yeah. Let me ask this question. Yeah. If we were to erase, and I'm not crazy right now, but let's go on this let me just present this question. If we were to erase the financial burden right now from every church leader, now I'm not pretending that doesn't exist and it's not a real thing, and it is. However, if we could erase the financial burden, I wonder how much of this we would see as a blessing. I wonder if we would see this as, whoa, we have a chance to reach culture in a way we've never been able to reach it. Because most of my burden, if I'm just being honest, is a financial burden as a church leader. Most of it I feel right now is financial. If I erase that, I start thinking there's endless possibilities of strengthening our reach in our community through this.
Yeah. 100%. And I love how you guys are focusing on we the church. On the one hand, this one question is, how do we react? And for us in this moment, we're just, everything that we're doing over these next 6 weeks is looking to Jesus and being the church, looking to Jesus and being the church, and trying to help our church rise up and take a look at that. But just before we address the opportunity that this has, that the opportunity that the coronavirus COVID-19 has for multi-site and for church planning, let's just hear a word from our sponsor and we'll get right back into it. Launching a new church or campus is exciting work, but it can also be hard work, and the details can quickly become overwhelming. Getting incorporated, building your launch team, finding a location, marketing the launch, there are so many things to do. When you partner with Portable Church, they help you navigate all of the gear you'll need so you don't have to get bogged down with the logistical details now or bad systems later. They free you up to focus on what you, as the pastor, have been created to do. Hear God's direction, cultivate a team of disciple makers, and share Jesus with the community. If you're thinking of launching in this year or next, we encourage you to check them out at portablechurch.com/lifeway. So Josh, yesterday in one of my lead team meetings, we were talking about this, not necessarily as the crisis that it is, but as the opportunity it presents us. And the thought, the thought came to me where it was like, I wonder, you know, I just wonder, obviously this is not surprising to God. This is not surprising to God, but I wonder if this was God's way to try to perform radical surgery to take consumerism out of Western Christianity. Right. I wonder if this was his way to say, hey guys, you can't keep on going down this road. Like it's not the flood and Noah's Ark, but I wonder if it's kind of like that. And he's like, you can't rely on the buildings and budgets and everything that you've relied on before. You can't do this. You can't. And I wonder if God was so trying to shake up the church that when this is all said and done, like, I just wonder if the consumeristic tendencies of this Western church and of Christianity is going to be completely different.
Yeah. And I wonder, once again, we saw this back in 9/11, where many people noticed their need for a God when they recognized that their tangible God or their fake gods weren't enough, right? And so how much of this also is going to draw people to wanting to find hope, wanting to find refuge, and how many people are going to be turned to the church in this season? And you know, it's interesting to think about. You know, God works all things together for good, right? And so did God allow allow this virus for the church to end consumerism in a way? I don't know, but what do I think will come of this? I think without a doubt, I think the church has now been forced to rely on its strength outside of that one day a week where we come together. And we're being forced to answer this question. Have you built a church that is bigger than one day coming together? Do people give outside of that one day? Do people serve outside of that one day? Do people gather outside of that one day? We're being forced to answer that question.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's think about multi-site, right? The future of multi-site. And let's just kind of go back and forth, ping pong with some thoughts. For me, when I think about the future of multi-site post COVID-19, I wonder if our attendance is going to be so flipped with people getting not, I don't want to say addicted, but loving the church online component of it and saying, well, actually, yeah, we are the church. Hey, Daniel, you've been talking about the fact that church is not a building and we are the church and we've been worshiping wherever, in homes, with our neighbors and with our groups. Why can't we keep on doing this? And I wonder if that's going to change the number of sites that are viable, because I wonder if that's just going to flip on its head.
Yeah, and I'll admit something. I actually fought against church online for a long time. Matter of fact, 3 weeks before the coronavirus hit, we started our church online.
Three weeks
before, because I fought, because I'm in New England. You're in Canada, right? If we do church online, nobody might come is what I thought. Like, we're going to have nobody at church is what I thought for years. 3 weeks before this virus hit, we launched like a location, big deal, like this online location, because I rebelled against it. And now I've found comfort in it, knowing that, hey, if this is what God's going to use for the future, I need to get on board and I need to get over my insecurity. I have to get over the insecurity of people not in a building does not mean people are not being reached by this ministry and being led closer to Jesus Christ. I couldn't agree with you more. I think after this, people are going to say, hey, if I can stay home, like Next Level Church, we had 2,500 devices tapped into our online location this past weekend. I love it too, kind of. But what I'm asking myself out of all of those devices, how many people after this are going to say, man, why would I go to a building? The preacher's telling me we can do this from home. So I do think this changes the landscape after. It's almost like most people thought that church online was a backup plan to not being able to go. What if it becomes the plan to going?
Yeah, it's fascinating. So on that note, it's interesting from that perspective. I'm also thinking about our kids ministry, because obviously, right? Obviously, Josh, you and I would be, I mean, all of our listeners are going to be on the same page where the parents need to be the primary disciplers of their children. Yet we know in the West, and this goes back to the consumeristic thing, we know in the West, a lot of parents are, they kind of outsource it to the church. They outsource the discipleship of their children to the church. Not that anyone wants that, but unfortunately, that's what has been happening. I wonder if post COVID-19, we're going to have stronger families, more rooted parents who have said, you know what? Yes, I am the spiritual leader of my house, and I can't outsource this and just pay it off, right? I need to own the spiritual ownership, the spiritual discipleship of my children.
Yeah. And I think as church leaders in this season, we can't expect people to do that or families to do that. We have to lead them to do that.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I think being very intentional about saying to our church families through videos, whatever we can do, we can say, hey, listen, you as a family need to strengthen in this season. Here's the videos we're giving you. Here's the PDF file of what you can read at the dinner table together, questions you can go over with your kids when it comes to faith. But families, it's your time to step up. The church can't fill the gap on that one day a week. And so I think families can and will step up to this and be stronger if church leaders give them the tools and over-communicate the importance of families heading that direction.
Yeah, yeah. Our kids team is taking it a two-pronged approach because, we need to lead and we need to disciple and we need to pastor our parents toward that end. So on the one end, that's our goal, that we're discipling our parents toward that end. But on the more immediate note, we're saying, okay, we are going to have a specific video teach engagement activity and for the children. We're going to have something so that we're continuing our kids pastors and we're still leading in that way the children, but we're going to take it two prongs so that it's that plus we're going to be discipling our parents toward that end.
Yeah, I think we got to ask that in every area throughout this season. I think we have to ask that about our groups. You know, how are our groups still meeting with technology? They can still meet through Zoom, through all sorts of students. We can do the same thing with students, alpha classes, discipleship classes. I think every church should just be asking, how can we continue to do what it is we've been called to do and just do it in a different way?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know we started this conversation talking about how, what does the future of multi-site look like? But I think a lot of the stuff that we've just addressed works for any church, whether you're a multi-site or church plant regardless, it works. But let's end the podcast by focusing a bit on the future of church planting. What do you think the future of church planting is going to look like post-coronavirus?
I wonder if church planters see the benefit of the church online platform as the foundation that they build their future brick and mortar locations off of potentially, right? So instead of launching a location in September in person, maybe we launch in July with an online location that we market and push for the opening or grand opening of our location. I think many people, we launched the physical location and out of that births the online location. But maybe right now, church plants all over should be launching online locations, even if they prepare to launch a physical location at some point. In this unknown, launch online locations, build the core, build the platform that way through social media and marketing, and then do a big push towards a one-day event. And maybe that's a once-a-month event for 6 months or a year or however long, and church online becomes the very centered focus in which it builds off of. I think that could be something. What do you think?
Dude, that's crazy. That is fascinating. Fascinating when you think about the launch process of the church plant and thinking about gathering your core and doing preview services and doing all that. That is...
I think I'm going to try that.
Right. So you have that, right? And then you have the other side that for our launch, our campus launch, at least we're thinking sustainability, right? I mean, every church plant should be thinking sustainability, sustainability, sustainability. And there's the whole notion that Ed and I talked about in the latest version of Planting Missional Churches, this idea of reversed tier funding instead of going 100% funding year one, you know, going down year two, year three, year four, start year one with 0% funding. And then year two, you get 25. And then year three, you get 50. And you actually raise the money, but you reverse tier. You can't access it until you actually need it. So you start bivocational. You start, so the costs are low. It's very much taking it from the tech world, this idea of just an agile approach, a Scrum agile approach to launching. So I wonder if with the online piece, if we start that way, like the costs are so much lower.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I've been thinking about that all week. I've been thinking about our reach this past week in salvations, and yet the cost, that's how Next Level started. I was bivocational. I didn't pay my first staff member for 2 years. They raised their own support. We started with $200 in our bank account. That's all we had. And I didn't get paid. I only got paid $100 a week when giving was over $1,000 a weekend. And so, you know, we accidentally started that way just because of the raw start. But yeah, looking at it, how big of a base can we build online? How big of a reach can we make online with lowered cost that when we finally do potentially start holding venue meetings, well, we can afford it because we've already built a base of teams and people who believe in what it is lack of a better word, selling.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I think, to end off our podcast, what everyone needs to hear from this is, I know some of the skeptics are thinking, yeah, but okay, if you're launching online, then, I mean, why would someone watch that? Why wouldn't they watch Craig Groeschel instead? Right. Or why wouldn't they do all this when there's a community? And that's why it's so important. It's so important that it's high tech and it's high touch, and there's that connectivity and there's the relationships being built. So for our church, we're taking, like, literally on the whiteboard, we had four quadrants: air war, ground war, weekends, midweek, right? So on the top axis was air war and ground war. And on the left axis, the vertical axis, it was weekends and midweek. And for our church, I was like, guys, we need to knock air war out of the park and say, okay, here's how we're exhorting. Here's how we're gathering online. Here's how we're discipling. Here's how, you know, it's very one way because of the online. But guys, ground war is even more important. We need to up the level of connectivity, up the level of engagement, up the level of connection to one another, and resourcing our church so that it is a two-way thing rather than just a one-way. So in everything, you know, and I just wonder, right, in all of this with the future of church planning and multi-site, I wonder if the church is actually going to look more like the New Testament church in light of all this. And it's not us paving the way forward, but it's us actually going backward in time to the ancient past to say, because this is all that we have. And yes, we are going to be meeting from house to house. So yeah, I mean, we can probably go on forever for this, but we're already over time. So Josh, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And Josh, just super quick, where can our listeners reach you?
Yeah, well, they can reach me, Pastor Josh Gagnon, on Instagram. I think that's Facebook and Twitter as well. And of course, It's Not Overbooked can be bought anywhere. And it's been fun being the co-host of the best show happening today.
Love it. Thanks, Josh. Buddy.